Go with me, please, to 1 Peter 2. This is where I always start out this year anyway. 1 Peter 2, I'm going to share verses 13 to 16, and I'm going to share them out of the Passion Translation. It reads, "In order to honor the Lord, you must respect and defer to the authority of every human institution, whether it be the highest ruler or the governors he puts in place to punish lawbreakers and appraise those who do what's right. For it is God's will for you to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right." God expects that his children do what's right. Verse 16, "As God's loving servant, you should live in complete freedom, but never use your freedom as a cover for evil. Recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your rulers." That's one of the reasons we're here. We're honoring God and we're honoring our rulers because we've prayed that our rulers operate in godly wisdom. And so when their wisdom says, you know, everything they've said about no gatherings larger than 10 and essential versus non-essential, we comply because we're honoring God by doing what is right. They're not preventing us from preaching the gospel. I'll tell you, when I watch the updates and I hear people who were verbally opposed to the Christian faith praising God and talking about how blessed we are and thanking God for direction and all of these things that they're doing now because of the pandemic, I praise God, and so should you, that they're recognizing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 7, very familiar passage of Scripture, it's King James Version, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I shared with you last Sunday that we sometimes look at that Scripture from the standpoint of, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, we should never be afraid. And some of us have been beaten up by that Scripture, and that's not what the Scripture is saying. Basically, the Scripture is saying fear doesn't come from God. That's very, very basic. Fear is out there, but it didn't come from God. It doesn't come from God. We choose to believe something other than what God said, that brings on fear. If we stick with what God said and we believe everything God said, we'd never be fearful because we'd be full of faith. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But I want to give you a very basic illustration, and I saw something different in this illustration. I've been reading Genesis 3 for years, and I've read this passage a number of times. I'm sure most of you have also. But looking at Genesis 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, "The Lord God called unto Adam," and of course this is after Adam and Eve sinned. They ate from the forbidden tree. "But the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? And he, being Adam, said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Now we believe that Adam was afraid because he was naked, and we believe that because Adam said, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. But as I said, I saw something, and it's relevant to what I want you to get out of tonight. Adam said he hid because he was naked. Now, when God called Adam, Adam didn't say, I'm hiding because I am naked. He says, I was hiding because I was naked. And I said, how did he get from is naked to was naked? And it's not just a play on words, folks. Just stay with me. Adam disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God by eating from the forbidden tree, the moment he did that, he realized that there was something different about him. He looked different, and he looked at Eve. She looked different. He saw that they were naked, and they were ashamed. And if you read that story, it says they were both naked, and they were not ashamed. So now, because they didn't stick with God, they didn't choose to just believe what God said, now they're looking at each other differently. They no longer saw the glory of God, and they realized they were naked, and they probably thought that when God found out, they were going to be in big trouble. They no longer felt like they were worthy to be in God's presence. Just like we feel when we miss it, we try and hide it from God. Or, you know, if you're a child, you want to hide it from your parents because you don't want your parents to know you messed up. Now they hear God coming in the garden, and they like, God's going to find out that we did something. And they became afraid because they figured they were no longer covered by God. And because they were just out there naked, they felt the need to hide themselves. To hide themselves. See, fear caused them to think the worst, and fear will cause you and me to think the worst if we allowed it. Fear caused Adam to believe that because he was naked, he was no longer acceptable to God. So he hid himself. Because again, fear wants you to believe the worst. Adam thought that God was done with him, but God didn't approach Adam out of anger. He didn't come rip-roaring through the garden. He didn't come screaming and yelling, you know, like we might do. I hope not too many of us would do that. Because Adam believed he had no covering left. But when God called to him, just from the tone of his voice, Adam knew that God still loved him. He knew that. And he didn't feel that he was out there by himself. Even though he had messed up, he didn't feel like he was alone. He didn't feel like he was naked and unworthy. So he said, I was naked. But because of your presence here, God, I don't feel like I'm naked anymore. You're probably wondering, what does that have to do with our lesson? Fear is trying, it wants to get you to believe the worst of God. Fear wants you to believe God doesn't want anything to do with you because of whatever the circumstance is. And I'm here to tell you that is far from the truth. As a matter of fact, God has something that he wants to say about that, because the devil wants you to believe that when you mess up, you fall out of God's love. When you get into fear, because you're afraid, God won't love you anymore. Well, let me tell you what God has to say about his love in Romans 8. And this is out of the Passion Translation. Those of you who are new to the ministry, we use several translations. Not to try and impress anyone, but we ask the Holy Ghost to show us which ones will a people understand, because everybody doesn't speak 16th century Elizabethan English. At least I know I don't. But in Romans 8, verse 35 to 39, it says, who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe, listen to this, nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love or omnipotent love. Even though it's written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God. We're considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet even, listen to this, even in the midst of these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. That's why the devil would have you think that God doesn't love you. That's why he uses fear to think that God doesn't love you, because love allows us to have a glorious victory over everything. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken our love. Or I should say God's love for us. Nothing in our present circumstances, and everybody knows what our present circumstances are, or in our future circumstances, nothing has the power to separate us from God's love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. So I think God makes his position pretty clear, folks, on his love for us. 1 John 4 tells us there's no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. The Amplified Bible says that same passage, there's no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels it, expels every trace and terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. Naturally, you know, when you do something wrong, you're afraid you're going to get caught, and you're afraid of the punishment. That's what fear brings, thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, has not yet grown into love's complete perfection. Looking at the verse in 2 Timothy again, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Again, he didn't give us the spirit of fear because he doesn't want us to be enslaved by fear. But again, folks, fear exists. And God knew fear would exist. He knew fear would present itself. And he had to do something because he doesn't want his children to be wrapped up in fear. He doesn't want his children to be controlled by fear. So he gave us something else so that we could deal with fear successfully. What is that something else? Power, love, and a sound mind. That's what he gave us. And he gave them to us for a reason. He gave us power so we could break the bonds of fear. He gave us love so we know that nothing has the power to separate us from him and that he's got us covered. And he gave us a sound mind. I love this one. He gave us a sound mind so while we're in the midst of fear, we can make the right choice. While we're in the midst of fear, we still remember who we are. And while we're right in the very midst of the fear, we remember that we're God's property. And because we're God's property, he's the one that has the last say-so as to what happens with us. Not fear, and not definitely the devil, where the fear comes from. So wherever you are, I know we're not a live audience, and I can't hear you, so I'm doing this by faith. But wherever you are, I want you to say this right now. God gave me power so I can break the bonds of fear. God gave me love so I'll know that nothing has the power to separate me from him because he's got me covered. Now say, God gave me a sound mind so even in the midst of fear, I will make right choices. Even in the midst of fear, I still remember who I am in Christ. And in the midst of fear, I still remember that I'm God's property. Now you can shout hallelujah, but if you're driving, don't take your hands off the steering wheel. You shout and lick your hands off, okay? But there's a condition to all of this. As exciting as it is, exciting as it gets, there's a condition. You say, yeah, I knew it was a catch. No, it's not a catch, it's a condition. Once you've heard the word of God, you have to believe it. That's the condition. You have to have faith that God said it and he'll back it up. See, folks, we're Christians. We're believers. And think about this. Why do you think we're called believers? Because we believe. As believers, our nature should be believed, to believe. And not just to believe any old thing. We believe what God says over any other thing. Yes, other things come that are real. The coronavirus is real, but it doesn't negate what God has said concerning us. And it doesn't negate what God has said concerning our authority as believers, as children of God, over it. It doesn't negate that. But if we don't believe it, it will negate it. So it's very important that we believe. Hebrews 10:38 tells us that the just, and that's us, the just shall live by faith. So that means just because God said it doesn't mean you're going to get it. You have to believe it by faith, and you will get it. But if you don't believe it, it's like God never did it for you. You can't let circumstances dictate to you what you're going to believe. We need to choose to believe what God said and not care what the circumstance brings, because God's word prevails. It tells us so in Philippians that Jesus has the name that's above every other name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee and every tongue. So when a believer stands in their authority, whatever it is, whatever name it has to bow and admit Jesus is Lord. And since you're his representative, then you're Lord. That's what we have to believe, folks, because that's what God says about us, and you have to believe it. You have to have faith. People are concerned, and we understand that. Even some believers are experiencing fear. And I'm not downplaying, please understand this, I am not downplaying the severity or the power of the virus. I'm upplaying, I know it's a new word. I'm not downplaying anything. I am upplaying the role of the believer in the solution of this pandemic. And when I say upplaying, I mean we need to put more emphasis on who we are as believers than what's happening all around us. Because who we are as believers will take care of what's happening all around us if we stand strong and we stand united and not divided. So yeah, I'm upplaying who we are. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. That's what it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5. And as a new creature in Christ Jesus, as I said to you before, we walk by faith and not by sight. And we need to understand that the principle as to how we operate in faith is what's key. There's a principle with how we acquire the faith that we need. And it's in Romans 10:17. Very simple. To most people, it's a very familiar passage of scripture. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if since that's true, why is there so much fear about the pandemic that we're going through? Well, let's look at the principle. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. Listen to that. Faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Hear the good news about Christ. That's how faith comes. You keep hearing it and you believe it. But again, people are afraid. People are fearful. Well, how do you think fear comes? The same principle, folks. Fear comes from hearing. That's hearing the bad news about COVID-19. We keep hearing it over and over and over and over, and we keep listening to what the virus is doing, who it's taken out, how it's going to destroy our economy, and you become a breeding ground for fear. Yes, be informed. We tell it, be informed. I'm always on the CDC website, looking at information, reading the information, you know, from our government, our town, as to what they're asking us to do and how we can cooperate with them. You also want to keep hearing what God has said concerning you and what God has said concerning our role in the answer. We want to keep feeding on his word. In Joshua 1:8, God said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night, observing to do all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make your ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, yes, this is Old Testament. We're a New Testament church, but the principle there still applies. You meditate on the word day and night and observe to do it. But I was talking with Pastor Red earlier, and he shared a scripture with me, Galatians 3. You can turn there, Galatians 3. And the scripture really blessed him, and it sure enough blessed me also. I think I'm going to read it in a couple of translations. Galatians 3, verse 5, King James. "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" See, it said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." But it's not the law, it's the hearing of faith. Because faith comes by hearing. And by hearing faith, that causes miracles to happen among us. Because faith is at work, ushering in the power of God. The Amplified Bible says it's slightly different. "Then does he who supplieth you with his marvelous Holy Spirit and works powerfully and miraculously among you to do so on the grounds of your doing what the law demands, or because of your believing in and adhering to and trusting in and relying on the message that you heard." So again, he's telling us the miraculous things that happen among us and through us, it's not because we're obeying the law. It's because we're operating in faith. Faith is what brings God's promises into existence. And faith comes by hearing. So that means we have to spend more time hearing, more time listening to what God has to say than what we're going through. Because what God has to say, when we hear it and believe it, and do it, it will handle any circumstance that comes. Every single time. What if it doesn't work? That's not faith speaking. That's fear speaking. Fear says, "What if?" Faith says, "It is." Fear says, "What if?" Faith says, "It is." Personally, I like living on "it is." I don't like what ifs. What ifs are unknown. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith brings everything into reality. But you have to believe it. You have to believe it. Miracles don't happen just because we're nice people. Miracles happen because we're faith people. Think about it. When you think about the woman with the issue of blood, what caused her to be healed? I'm sure she was a nice woman, but her nicety, quote unquote, probably another new word, that's not what got her healed. The Bible says, Jesus turned about him, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith," not thy works, not the fact that you went through the crowd and walked whatever distance to get to me, made you healed. He said, "Woman, thy faith has made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, where did her faith come from? Well, if you read that account, it said she heard about the miraculous works of Jesus. First, she heard about Jesus. She heard about the miraculous works that he had done. And then she did something that was necessary. She believed it. And she believed that all she had to do was touch the hem of his garment and she would be made whole. That's what she believed. Now, the Bible doesn't talk about that she heard about the different ways Jesus healed. All she heard was this person, Jesus, did miraculous works and got people healed from practically anything. And she said, I've been to doctors, spent all my money. I believe that if I get to Jesus, he will make me whole. And she didn't start complaining about how far she had to travel or what the cost would be. She didn't care about that. She said, all I needed to do was get to him. And Jesus said, her faith made her whole. He didn't say, because you touched me. He said, your faith made her whole. I believe that if the woman said, all I have to do is get into the same city as Jesus, I'll be healed. The minute she's crossed over into the city where Jesus was, she would have been healed. Why? Because it was about her faith. That's what it was about, her faith. What is this about today? Our faith. Are we going to allow our faith to work, or are we going to allow fear to work? And it's our choice. What about those two blind men? I'm laughing because I really like that account. Just picture two blind men following you. Two blind men, they can't see a lick, but they follow you step by step. And they followed Jesus. And they were crying out, mercy, son of David, mercy on us. I'm reading the account in Matthew 9, verse 28 in the Message Bible. And when Jesus got home, the blind men went in. Can you imagine some of you get home and two people following you just walk right in your home unannounced, uninvited? And Jesus said to them, do you really, listen to this carefully. Jesus said to them, do you really believe I can do this? And they looked at him and they said, why, yes, master. I mean, the look was probably like, we wouldn't be here if we didn't think you could do it. Of course we believe you can do it. And then this part gives me chills. He touched their eyes and said, become what you believe. And the Bible says it happened, they saw. Think about that statement. Become what you believe. What you believe about yourself, you will become. If you believe you're worthless, you'll become worthless. If you believe you're dumb, you'll become dumb. If you believe that you can't remember, you won't remember. You will become what you believe because you're believing it with all your heart. Fear had an opportunity in both of those cases. In one translation about the woman with the issue of blood, when Jesus looked at her, it said she was trembling with fear. Fear had gripped her because she had to take risks. During those days, if you had an issue of blood, you didn't go out in public unless you went around screaming out, unclean, unclean, so people could move away from you. And failed the punishment for not doing that was death. So the woman was afraid that she would get caught, but she didn't let that fear stop her because she had too much faith that all she needed to do was get to Jesus and everything would be okay. Even if they found out, by the time they found out, she was healed. So everything was okay. The blind men didn't know. You're following someone. Today they call that stalking. I mean, I might have to get saved all over again, but if I'm walking down the street and two men are following me everywhere I go, we're going to at least have a conversation because I want to know, what are you doing following me? And Lord, you walk right into my home right behind me? I hope I'm not saved. But these men, all they knew was Jesus can give them back their sight or give them their sight. Jesus will do that. And they believed it. They didn't care what they had to go through. They didn't care that they were ignored when they were crying out all the way. They didn't care about any of that because they had heard about Jesus. And you know why I say they heard? They were blind. They couldn't see any works that he did. All they could do was hear about them. You know, sometimes we're probably better off blind because we have a tendency to walk by sight, not by faith. But these two men couldn't see. But they heard about Jesus, and they believed everything they heard, and they had faith that if they got to Jesus, they would see. And Jesus just simply asked them a question. Do you believe I can do this? That's all he asked them. And they said, why, yes. And he said, become what you believe. Folks, you will always become what you want, what you believe. What you just flat out believe. Everyone is usually familiar with Mark 11:23. You can turn there, but I'm going to read it in the Ben Campbell Johnson translation. That's my favorite translation for that particular verse because it says some things in there. Listen to this. Truly, anyone who speaks of that mountain yonder, saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. When anyone's expression in prayer is congruent with his inner being, his desire will be actualized. Now, that's a fancy way of saying you will have whatever you say. But there are two more things I want to tell you about. And one of them is about this verse. Truly, anyone who speaks of that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. Folks, this is very important. I wish people were in here so they could follow me with camera because I feel like moving around. It's hard for me to stand still and say this. That's okay, operator. You don't have to lose the camera. What fear tries to do is get you to separate yourself from your statement of faith. That's what it wants. It's just like when we were kids and someone would say something to you and you'd say, you take that back. And if they didn't do it, then you would do whatever was necessary to make the person take that back. So you take that back. And that's what fear wants to do. You make a statement of faith, and fear is going to come to make you take it back. I keep thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Classic example of this. They made a bold statement. They're talking to the king who was, everybody was so terrified of this king, they'd rather commit suicide than have him kill them. That's just how afraid they were of Nebuchadnezzar. And nobody defied Nebuchadnezzar and lived to talk about it. Nobody. But these three teenage boys looked at the king when the king said, I'm going to give you one more chance. Mind you, they didn't ask for any more chances. But he said, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to play my music. And as long as you bow down, everything will be good with you. But if you don't, you will be thrown into the midst of the furnace. And who is that God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? And those three teenagers, even though the entire nation of Israel was afraid, these three teenage boys looked at the king and said, we don't even have to think about this. Our God will deliver us. He'll deliver us from your furnace. And I like the Message Bible. It says, is there anything else you can cook up? But even if he won't, be it known unto you, king, that we will not bow down to your statue. Now, modern day believers, 2020 believers, would make a statement like that, and they'd look at the furnace and expect that the furnace would just collapse, or that the flames would just peter out, and they would never have to face the fire. We make statements on the premise, we make statements thinking that we'll never have to go through the thing. But after those young men made that statement, immediately the furnace was heated 7 times hotter. It didn't get better. It appeared to get worse. Why? Because the king wanted them to back away from the statement that they just made. He tried to inject fear into them so that they would separate themselves from their statement that their God would deliver. Because if you could be separated from your statement that God will deliver, you'll do something else. You'll eat from the forbidden tree. You'll do whatever it is that's contrary to God, and fear will come in. You'll feel guilty because you did it. You're going to be afraid that someone's going to find out. Fear comes in that way. When you make a statement, folks, please get this. You can't, no matter what happens, you can't back away from it. We hit as a pandemic, and we make a bold statement of faith. This pandemic won't affect me. And then you start coughing, and your chest starts tightening up. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor says your test comes back positive. And you start that's an opportunity for you to back away from the statement you make. No, that's an opportunity to hold on. My God said, he shall supply my every need. My God said, he sent his stripes and healed me and delivered me. That's what my God said. Now, and if you just think about it, like he told Joshua, meditate on it day and night. If God said, I sent my word and healed, well, in order to be healed, you had to be sick. So why do we get bent out of shape when symptoms come? God knew they were going to come. That's why with his stripes, we were healed. So just because you receive a diagnosis doesn't mean you have to step away from your faith. That fear gets swallowed up by your faith if you've been feeding your faith the word of God, if you've been meditating in the word day and night, if you've been hearing the word, hearing, because faith comes by hearing. We spend a lot of time hearing negative reports and negative stuff. We need to take time to hear what God is saying, to hear about what God has already said, to hear about the things that God is doing miraculously for his people, so that faith comes. And then we start acting on what we've heard, and faith stays. It doesn't go anywhere. So you don't want to ever become separated from the statement that you made concerning your faith. I don't care what comes. I don't care how hot it gets, how rough it gets, how tough it gets. I remember another saying from my youth was, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, that's the way God expects. We walk by faith and not by sight. That means we don't care what it looks like. We pay attention to what God said. That's what that means. And then we have 1 John 5. Oh, what a great passage of scripture. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, King James Version. I'm also going to share it in the Message Bible. Reads, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So it's telling us our confidence should be that when we pray, God hears us. And because we're praying according to his will, we know if he hears us, we have what we prayed for. The Message Bible says, my purpose in writing is simply this, that you who believe in God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion, and how bold and free we then become in his presence. Listen to this. freely asking according to his will, sure that he's listening. And if we're confident that he's listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours. We know it. Why do we know it? Because we have faith that he's listening. And we have faith that because he's listening, he heard us. And we have faith because he's listening, because he's heard us, and we're asking according to his will, we will have what we've asked for. Our faith says, yes, we do. And it doesn't matter what shows up that says, no, you don't. God said, yes, we do, and that's what I choose to believe. Because if I don't believe that, now I'm fearful. Because if I'm not getting what I ask for, what am I getting? You don't know. And fear comes. Fear of what? First of all, fear of the unknown. Fear of, there are folks now that are being affected, you know, because businesses have closed up. And they're wondering, what am I going to do? Fear, I have a family. I have bills. I have a house payment. I have all of these things that are happening. Faith says, my God shall supply all my need. That's what faith said. Again, not downplaying, upplaying. We're upplaying what God said. I remember being unemployed. I remember. I wasn't used to it. I heard about other people, but I never thought it would be me. And I had just became a Christian. I'd gotten born again in October, and I was and I phased out of my position in November. Matter of fact, they did it to me on my birthday. They gave me my birthday off and then called me, happy birthday, you're fired. And I didn't know what to do. I was too new as a believer. I didn't know the word. I knew two songs that the late, great Pastor Clinton Utterbach wrote. You promised me and you'll take care of me. That's the amount of word that I had. Now, all of you folks have much more word in you than I had back then. But I would be on my knees, tears streaming down my face, singing, I have no doubt that you'll supply all my needs. And I will always offer praise to thee because I have assurance that you'll take care of me. I would be on my knees crying, singing, you promised me, that's why I never fret. You promised me, and you never failed me yet. And I go look at my cabinets and there's nothing in them. And I go back to singing. You can't go back on your word. Everything that you say has got to come true. Why did I do that? That's all I knew. And I got faith from those words. Next thing I know, food started coming. It wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't T-bone steaks and baked potatoes and all that. No, it was Chef Boyardee, ravioli, macaroni, spaghetti and meatballs. And then sometimes I'd sing the song, I'm having beefaroni. I mean, that's what it was. But all I used what I had. I had Christian songs that I had listened to so much that they were in me. I hadn't studied the word where I knew the scriptures. I hadn't learned that my God shall supply all my need. What I learned was he can't go back on his word. Everything that he said has got to come true. And that's what I went with. And that's what I'm asking you to go with. Being confident that what you know God said, forget about what I know God said or anybody around you, what you know God said for you, you hold on to that word. You have faith in that word. It'll get you through anything that comes. It will get you through anything that comes. Don't let fear cause you to be separated from your bold statements of faith. Don't let fear cause you to be separated. Don't let fear cause you to back away. And I guarantee you that you will have whatsoever you say. Before I let you go, there was something that was staring in me. I know there's no one in here, but wherever you are, your faith made you whole. Whatever symptoms you're going through, you put your hand on them in your body right now, because I'm just going to speak a word of faith, very, very simple word. You latch on to it, and you'll receive your healing. You'll receive the manifestation of your healing, because with his stripes, you were already healed. So whatever it is, I don't care what it is, because God's word covers everything. That's why I said he sent his word and healed us. So have you done it? Just whatever it is, just touch whatever it is. I'm just going to say, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you were healed. Your faith makes you whole. Your faith has made you whole this very hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know you were healed, I'd appreciate it. Call our office tomorrow, 845-623-9300, and just say, I got healed when Pastor Greg prayed. I received my healing. I believed it, and I received it, because it's not my prayer, it's your faith. And we'd love to hear the testimonies of it. So feel free to call in. And again, before I let you go, everything that I've told you is based on one, having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You say, well, why does it have to be through Christ? Well, Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father unless they go by him. And the Bible tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So I'm just going to ask you to make this very, very brief confession. Father, I believe Jesus Christ is your son, and I believe that he died for my sins. And so, Jesus, I'm asking you to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and give me a new life. I want to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. Again, if you prayed that prayer, call our office, 845-623-9300. I prayed that prayer last night with Pastor Greg, and we'll send you an information packet, free information, just letting you know who you've become, so you just get started on the right foot. And last thing I want to let you know is, like I said, the offices are open. Some think that we're closed. We are what's called an essential business. The government recognizes that people need the church. So our offices are open. You can mail in your gifts, your tithes, your offerings. You can mail them to Redeeming Love Christian Center, 145 West Route 59, Nanuet, New York. Or you can go to our website, RedeemingLoveCC.org, and hit the donate button, follow the prompts. Or you can even text to give. I love it. It takes about 28 seconds. And you could text the keyword RLCC plus whatever the amount is you want to give, and you text that to 28950. God bless you. And remember, we walk by faith and not by sight, so we don't fear.